Amen. That's good. Well, you ready to minister the word?
I'm ready.
Spirit-filled believers live a fruitful life, gentleness. That's me. Nice, I heard that. All right. I'll take care of you later. You know, Pastor John has been going through all the different fruits of the Spirit, and if we are followers of Christ, these fruit should be exhibited in our life. I mean, there's times we step outside the bounds, isn't there? I mean, let's be honest here. Mm-hmm. I think we all get mad at times, or, you know, we don't show that gentleness. Maybe there's a rough side, but that should be the predominant thing that everybody... Esther, what are you laughing at? Okay. I thought maybe she's laughing at me and had a story or something. All right, Esther. But those should be the manifestations of the Spirit in our life. Those are actually more important than the gifts. I mean, you know, the gifts are important, but having that fruit that people will see what kind of life that you live. So we're going to pray right now and ask God just to bless this message. Father, we lift up Pastor John as he continues on with this series. Father, we pray that we would be fruitful in our walk with you. We pray that this fruit, this gentleness, Lord, would rise up, and Lord, that would be part of our life, that would manifest itself to those who know us. And Father, we thank you. Let these fruits come forward in our life. And Lord, bless this time. Bless Pastor John as he brings forth this word.
Thank you, Jesus.
And we ask it in Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen.
Well, all throughout this year, we have been looking at how the Holy Spirit has been involved in our lives. And the life of every follower of Christ. And what we've seen that is that as we allow the Holy Spirit to begin to minister to us, we begin to change. We really do. We can change. Some people say people don't change. Well, God can change us. God can change our heart. That's one of the greatest miracles, is that God can change our hearts. 2 Corinthians 3:18 tells us that we are literally being transformed with ever-increasing glory into the image of Christ. So somebody who actually gives their heart to the Lord and is sincere about that will change. The evidence of that change is something that we can actually recognize. We can see it. And what we see is it's fruit. We see fruit. Fruit is what we can see, the outward thing, and that's the fruit of the Spirit. So God's been kind enough to give us a list of this fruit, and this list of fruit is really, it's sort of a sampling. It's not a complete list, but it's a sampling of the character of Jesus Christ. Galatians 5:22 says, "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." Now, last week we started looking at gentleness, and we saw that the Greek word for that was praoutes. And we know that oftentimes when we have a Greek word, the English language is not subtle enough. It's not descriptive enough to give a full meaning of, you know, by one word of what the Greek word meant. So we've translated that gentleness there, but it's often translated for different words. Humble, meek, gentle, considerate, gracious, mild-tempered, tender, thoughtful, compassionate, and more. They all are of the same vein. They all come from that same root of, you know, praoutes there. So sometimes some people view gentleness, especially in this world that we live in, as a weakness, as a wimpiness, or a lack of strength, maybe even a character flaw. They're too mild-mannered, they're too, you know, they're so gentle, you know, that kind of thing. But if it's true that, if that was true, that it was a character flaw, then what we're saying is that God's character is flawed. What we're saying, that is, the Holy Spirit, what He's building in us, is flawed. That the Word of God is flawed in enlisting that fruit of the Spirit. So that's obviously not true, because there's nothing wrong with God. So we have to see that this gentleness that we've been looking at, we have seen that this gentleness is something that God you know, he gives towards us. He operates in this gentle way towards us. And now what he's doing is he's trying to develop this same gentleness in us so that we can then respond in kind to him and that we can also then operate that way in the world from through this gentleness, but not as a sign of weakness, but instead, if it comes from the Lord, as a sign of strength. Gentleness is an attribute of God himself, and if we are going to be like God, if we're growing and being transformed into the image of Christ, then we need to pursue gentleness. And there are all kinds of scriptures that tell us about God's gentle nature. I'm just going to give you a couple. Luke 1:76 says, "And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High." It's talking about John the Baptist. "For you will go before the Lord to prepare a way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins." Why? "Because of the tender mercy of our God." The gentle spirit, the gentle nature of our God. Exodus 34, when God was talking to Moses, he walks by and he says of himself, he proclaims, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, the gentle God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. Both of these talk about gentleness. And then there's Jesus, who we know is the exact representation of the Father, who was God in the flesh, walking on this earth, and also a powerful, powerful leader. We looked at all this last week, how powerful he is. And what does he tell us? In Matthew 11:29, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." So thankfully, God's attitude toward us is gentle. Thankfully. I would hate to have him crushing me. And he wants us to have a gentle heart towards him, a soft heart. Because a hard heart leads to unbelief and rebellion. But a soft heart, or a soft spirit, or a soft, you know, gentle nature, a gentle spirit, helps us to be submissive and open up to the Holy Spirit, to God's Word and to God's will. So gentleness helps us also to calmly accept what God has allowed in our life. And it helps us then to not fight God. Because we're not hard. We're not ready to fight at every the least thing that goes on. Somebody who's got a hard nature, a hard heart, somebody says one little thing and they're ready to fight. "What do you mean? What do you mean by that?" You ever come across someone like that? Always, we call it a chip on the shoulder. Hard-hearted. Harsh. So this gentleness helps us to not be that way towards God. When he's working, and he is. He's always working in our life to change our attitude, to change our perceptions, to change our character. He's transforming us, remember? He's renewing us. He's renewing our minds. That's why Jesus, that's why he was so successful and so powerful, because he was humble and gentle. And because he was humble and gentle, he was open completely to the Father. And so everything he said, everything he did then was a direct result of what he heard from his Father. So now it's our turn to take on this gentle nature so that we can not only respond rightly to God, but so that we can also then bring this gentleness into the world. It's our duty. It's our privilege to show the love of God to the people in this world that are hurting, that have no idea, that they need Christ. People need to understand that God is not a tyrant. He's not a dictator. He's not a monster. He's not a harsh master. He's a gentle God. Yes, there is that other side where justice comes in. But he comes to us, his desire would be to come to us with gentleness, with love. And now we are his ambassadors. We're his ministers, the ministers of mercy and grace. That's our job. We're the ones who are privileged to share the good news of salvation, of God's love and forgiveness. And we need to bring that message forth with a gentle spirit so that those people who are out there around us, those hurting people who may not want us to know they're hurting, but for those hurting people so that they can receive it. Because if we're hard, we're mean, we're harsh, they're not going to receive it. So how do we do this then? Colossians 3:12 tells us, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves then with compassion, kindness, more parts of gentleness, humility. We saw last week that humility and gentleness are tied together. They come from the same root word. And patience. And then from there it goes on to give us a whole lesson in how to live with one another and act towards one another with this gentle spirit. It just goes right on from there. Humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, because he was gentle towards you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. And if you will see a little bit later, heavenly wisdom, part of that is gentleness. Through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. And the Spirit, of course, fruit of the Spirit, is gentleness. Singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This is like a primer for the people of God on how a gentle spirit or a gentle nature can help us to live amongst one another. It gives us instructions on how to live, how to function together, how to work together, how to continually bring peace and love into the body of Christ. Ephesians 4:2 tells us to be completely humble and gentle. It goes on to say, be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. So we see that in these two scriptures, God is making it abundantly clear to us that gentleness is one of the defining characteristics of how we can handle relationships in the body of Christ. The opposite of gentle is violent or harsh or hard and mean-spirited, prideful, all those kind of things. And we're supposed to make the effort to be at peace with one another and to deal with one another with this gentle spirit so that we don't cause people to, you know, there to be an uproar. We don't cause people to say, that's it, I'm out of here. So we don't cause people to be beaten down and broken. So we don't cause people to feel like nobody loves them, nobody cares. When we come in the right spirit, with a spirit of gentleness, a gentle nature, even when it's a reprimand, even when it's instruction, even when it's discipline, even when it's correction, even when it's a reminder, whatever it is, we do it with a gentle spirit. It's done in love. And it speaks love, and it brings peace, and it builds unity. That's why it's so important. And that's why this is what God's all about, because remember, God's goal is to bring all things together under his Son, Jesus Christ. And it's that gentle nature, that gentle spirit is what helps to bring that togetherness. Because the opposite of that, the harshness, the violence, the critical nature, the cynicism, all those things, they do exactly the opposite. They spread apart. They divide. The world may consider some of those negative things as an appropriate management style. Maybe even as expressions of strength.
Oh, he's a hard man, but he's a good boss. He's pretty violent, but he's a good boss. He's really critical and really, you know, he gets you, but yeah, he's still a good boss.
You know, I mean, maybe he is a decent boss in some ways, but his way of dealing with people is not the way. I mean, how many of you are at work and like to have a boss who jumps all over you and yells at you and swears at you? I've had bosses like that. You ever have that? Do you enjoy that? Not at all. None of us would. I'd rather have one who comes up to me and says, hey, you know, I wanted to talk to you. You know, you did a great job, but there's something I just wanted to bring up. I just wanted to mention this, and you know, there's this thing going on, and you know, this person here could really use your help in that way. And you just start, and you do it in a gentle, a loving way. As a father would speak to a son, a good father, like our Heavenly Father would speak to us. 1 Timothy 3:3 tells us that leadership positions in the church, people that are in a position of leadership are to be gentle. In Galatians 6:1, it tells us that even someone who's caught in sin is supposed to be restored gently. That's right out of Scripture. Proverbs 15:1, you've probably heard this one, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. So see, when we're harsh, we just stir things up. We make it worse. But if we're loving and gentle and peaceful and considerate and humble, meek, all those are the things that go with gentleness. We can accomplish what we need to accomplish, but in a way that brings restoration, brings life, instead of resentment. There's no better way to restore fellowship, to keep the peace and to build unity in the church, than to come to somebody humbly, with a gentle spirit, with a humble, gentle spirit. Jesus said, learn from me, I'm humble and gentle. We saw last week that those two work together in perfect harmony. Humility and gentleness work together. They flow right along together. Philippians 4:5 says, let your gentleness be evident to all. But you never thought there was all this stuff about gentleness in there. I was surprised when I saw how much there is. And I'm only touching on it. Let your gentleness be evident to all. We should be recognized. That's what it's saying, as a gentle people. Christians should be known as a gentle people. Now, some people in the world may interpret that wrongly. They may think then, oh yeah, they're just wimps. You know what? It doesn't matter what they think. What matters is what God thinks. And this call to be gentle, to be let it to be evident to all, is for inside the church and outside the church. 1 Peter 3:15 says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. Do this with gentleness and respect. Now we see that this gentleness is not only for the church. It's right there. It's for, and not only even for other believers, but for outside. That's how we're supposed to present the gospel to the world. How many people are converted by people, do you think? How many people are converted when they see a sign that says, you're a sinner and you're going to hell, and they're holding those placards around? You know, that one group was going to all these funerals and condemning people, or sometimes they've been out at these different street fairs and they got a sign that says, you know, sinners are going to hell, these people are going to hell, these people are going to hell, you know, and it's like people walk by and they just think they're nuts. What is that sign? Is it the sign? It's a sign of condemnation. We know that. Could it be true? Well, yeah, it can be true. If we're, we're all sinners, so you can't just say that sinners are going to hell. Unrepentant sinners, somebody who rejects God, yes, but is that the way that's going to get them? Is that the way that's going to touch their heart and change their heart and melt their heart and want them to change? Not at all. Proverbs 25:15 tells us about the power of a gentle tongue. It says, through patience, a ruler can be persuaded. Even a ruler can be persuaded. Anybody can. It says, a gentle tongue can break a bone. Now, what does that mean, break a bone? How many bones have you broken lately? I mean, you know, do we want to break a bone with our tongue? You know, that's not exactly what it means. You know how you can put a hole in a rock with a drop of water? You know how to do that? Just let that dripping water go through it for ages, for years. Eventually, you'll put a hole through that rock. And that's what it's saying, that this gentle is really a gentle tongue. It's talking about a loving attitude, a gentle attitude, kind words, considerate words, courteousness, our words and our actions combined, you know, to show the gentle nature of God, the gentle side of God. And we bring that to somebody over and over. We love them. We let them see this gentle side of love, and eventually it breaks them down. It breaks through the hard shell, the hard exterior, and they're able to receive the Lord. Because through patience, a ruler can be persuaded. That's what the word says. A gentle tongue can break a bone. It means it can break the hard heart. It means to break the bone part means to wear down or convince or persuade. It's all part of that, just breaking it down. God's gentleness can win over people. It really can. Way, way easier than somebody coming out in condemnation, in a harsh word, violent words. It just doesn't work that way. The word, we're told to taste and see that the Lord is good. When we treat somebody with that humble, gentle, considerate nature, that gentle nature, we let them have a taste of God. And if they receive it the right way, they can then taste and see that God is good, that the Lord is good. So how do we grow in this gentleness? Well, the first thing, of course, is to be filled with the Spirit, or to be led by the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit, to live in the Spirit. It's all about the Holy Spirit there. Gentleness is the natural outcome of somebody who is allowing the Holy Spirit to work in them and transform them, where we're allowing the Holy Spirit to grow us and to nurture us and to allow that fruit to come up and to grow in us. Gentleness is one of those fruit. The next thing that we can do is we can spend time in God's Word. And even there, the Holy Spirit helps us in that Word. He helps to open up that Word to us and helps us to grow in what we call heavenly wisdom. It talks about two kinds of wisdom in James. Earthly wisdom, which is unspiritual and of the devil. But then it talks about this heavenly wisdom that comes from God. 1 Timothy 3:17, it says, but the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, and then gentle or considerate. Same word there. Submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. That's the wisdom of heaven. The wisdom of heaven is telling us to act in this manner. Peace-loving, gentle, considerate, submissive, full of mercy, good fruit, impartial and sincere. Not hard, not condemning, not mercilessless, not, you know, not banging on somebody's head, not beating them over the head. Totally the opposite. So God wants us to learn. He wants us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Savior Jesus Christ. He wants us to grow in wisdom so that we can know how to insert that word at the fitting time, a word at the fitting time. Is I believe it says something like it's a silver apple on a gold platter or something like that. It's in Proverbs. One more thing we can do is to fix our eyes on Jesus, because there is no better example of gentleness that we could ever have than Jesus himself. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. So in other words, Jesus himself didn't take every right he had. He was God, but he didn't use his godhood for his own advantage. Rather, it says, he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. Same word again, he became gentle by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. We saw how Jesus treated others, always with gentleness and respect, except for the Pharisees. He did show us the other side of the coin. Those were the ones who rejected the Messiah. They were the ones who rejected the truth. They were the ones who rejected God. They proclaimed their own glory and their own, obedience to the laws that they made up. They only followed them outwardly. And what they were doing was actually leading people astray. And so Jesus taught them very differently, or talked about them. And I mentioned earlier that there is a last resort after gentleness that will actually be called justice. And there is the justice of God. We saw up there next week, Fred's going to be talking about vengeance and the wrath, and that it's the Lord's. There is a day when gentleness is not available anymore, when now it's time to pay the piper. There is a day of the vengeance of the Lord. There is a day of punishment of justice. But all the way up until then, there is opportunity. There is opportunity. There is opportunity to receive Christ, to be able to receive, to have that gentle heart and to receive our gentleness so that we can be gentle towards others and help to rescue them, so they don't have to go through that final thing of justice. And Jesus actually, it's never God's desire to do that. And Jesus makes it very clear in Matthew 23:37, he says, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often have I longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing." You guys down there, he's looking at the city and he's saying, you stoned the prophets, you killed people, you did all this, but still, I long to gather you to my breast, to gather you as a mother hen would gather her chicks. I still wanted to be gentle towards you and rescue you, but you've rejected me. Jesus calls himself, he calls us to learn from him. In Matthew 11:29, I mentioned it earlier, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls." Jesus wants us to walk with him, to learn from him, to grow with him. He wants to be able to teach us and to bless us and to unburden us, to be there for us. And when we learn to take on then that gentle spirit, as he says, to learn from me, and no longer be mad at the world and upset when everything doesn't go our way, we finally get to that place, it says there, where you will find rest for your souls. And that's not all. There's more blessing that comes from that gentle spirit. Matthew 5:5 says, "Blessed are the meek," or the gentle, same word again, "for they will inherit the earth." God, in other words, God's saying, good things are going to come your way. I'm going to give you position. I'm going to give you place. I'm going to give you wealth. I'll give you this. I'll give you that. When you operate in that gentle spirit and you're gentle towards God to the point where you can listen to Him, where you can allow the Spirit of God to come in and move you, God's going to give you power, authority, wisdom, position, all these things, because He wants you to be an influence to the world. 1 Peter 3:5 talks about the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. I love that. Great worth. God looks at this as something that's very valuable, having a gentle nature, a gentle spirit. God considers that spirit, that gentle spirit, of great worth. It's the true beauty that He's looking for in people, the beauty of our inner self. He said it doesn't come from clothes, it doesn't come from jewelry, it doesn't come from makeup. The true beauty that God sees in us is a gentle nature, a gentle spirit. It's of great worth. And other people see that too, and it makes us attractive to them. It's not just outward appearance. That's what He's trying to get to us. God's people should try to be, or actually, in reality, we really become then the beautiful people, because of our gentle nature. Because we've been so gentle, we've received from God, and we can gently then share God. That makes you a beautiful person that God considers of great worth. Strength, peace, rest, blessings, even beauty are all a result of a gentle nature, of a gentle spirit towards God and towards others. If I could have the prayer team come forward. When we look at ourselves, we have to ask ourselves, do I see that gentle nature in me? How do I respond to the world? How do I respond when somebody upsets my apple cart? Do I respond gently or harshly? Do I respond in love? Do we have that gentle spirit towards others? Is our heart gentle and open and humbled before God right now? Do we need a gentle touch from God? He wants to teach us. He wants to bless us. He wants to touch us. He wants to anoint us. He wants to use us for His glory. He wants to see that beauty in us, that great worth in us, that gentle nature. Let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord. We thank You that, God, that You were not harsh with us, but that You reached into our hearts and You gently brought us to that place of repentance. And Lord, I pray that our hearts would be soft towards You, would be gentle and open and humbled towards You, Lord God, that we might be able to continue to receive, that we might be Jesus who said He was humble and gentle, that we might learn from Him, and that we might show the world that gentle side of God, the gentle nature of God, to help draw others into the family of believers. Lord, use every one of us. Let us be a people of beauty because of our inner gentle nature. A people of great worth. Great worth. Thank You, Lord God. Thank You for being gentle with us. For rescuing us. Thank You, Lord God. And Father, I pray right now, even for those who are praying up here, Lord, I pray that Your anointing would be upon them, that as they pray for others, that You would impart through them a hunger and a desire for You, and a hunger and a desire to have that open, gentle heart towards You, is it all starts with our relationship with you, Lord God. So, Lord, we want to be humbled, broken, and gentle, and open towards you, Lord God. Bring us to that place so that we can share your love to all those around us, that we can have that inner beauty of humility and gentleness. Lord, fill us up with your Spirit, Lord God, so that we can be transformed into the image of Jesus Christ as we grow in the fruit of your Spirit. Thank you, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, Father.
Amen.